Welcome. You are listening to Know the Name, Know the Answers. This is your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and I am so pleased that you've joined us tonight. This is my night and your night. I want to say all of my shows, it is your night, but this is my time when I can literally help you out, let you know what your name means, answer your questions with your name, and literally introduce you to nameology science. Now, nameology science is the study of the placement of the letters in the name and what they tell you about somebody. What I've literally done when I figured out nameology science is take the vibration of the letters and their combinations and match it with the vibration of the actions that it entails and combine the two. And so you can see what somebody's going to do or how they're feeling or how it works for them in their life, what their life purpose is. Why they're here, the seven reasons why they're here, all of that shows up in their name. And how well you're going to get along with somebody else, the potential pitfalls, and the wonderful things that you would have in common, how to start a conversation. All of that is all according to somebody's name. It is the most wonderful thing that I just think is so remarkable these days because it's a shortcut. How do you know if that person that you're talking with really wants to take advantage of you, is a pathological liar, you know, doesn't know how to manage their resources, so they're always going to want you to pay for everything, you know, or is overly generous, you know, how do you know? Well, the name always gives it away, always. And it's the most remarkable thing. And so I want to share with you really quickly how lawyers and HR departments are literally hiring me. So lawyers hire me to solidify their extraordinary courtroom reputation because most lack insight, screening skills, and their own legal secret weapon. So I help them win more cases, increase billable hours, and possess the secret to influence the judge in their favor and select a winning jury. Bottom line, I help them stack the deck in their favor, which is what's so incredibly nice. So HR departments hire me to shortcut the hiring process because most are wasting time, resources, and personnel reading resumes, screening, and interviewing, only to continue to struggle with successful hires. So I help them hire right the first time, saving company time and money while making the HR departments heroes of their organizations. The bottom line is that HR companies then have more loyal long-term team members. And wouldn't you want to work for the right company? After I was in Hawaii and I gave my talk, somebody that was not at the audience came in and wanted one of the books because he'd heard about it from the other guys. And so he read the whole book and he wanted this job so badly. He'd gone in and interviewed so many times. And he said, okay, I'm going to use the knowledge in this book and I'm going to go ace this interview because I'm going to know how to talk to the person that's interviewing me. And he went in and he aced the interview. And they offered him the job. And he was like so thrilled. And then he said, wait a minute, what's the name of the person I'm going to be working for? And they told him the name. And he compared that person's name to his name. And he thought, oh, this will be the job from hell. He turned the job down. And I just had to laugh. Yes, it helps you get your jobs. Yes, it'll help you find the right job. And it'll let you know right away, do I want to work with that person or not? Okay? It just is so helpful. Okay, so we're going to take our first caller. And if you would like to call in, we always love our call-ins. And I am looking for the line. I have to see what I did with that number. And the phone number is, if you would like to call in tonight, that phone number is 888-627-6008. Again, it is 888-627-6008. If you would like to know about your name or you have a question that you would like to ask the universe about your life, because the majority of times that answer is sitting there in your name. So, Laura, thank you for calling in. You are on air. What can I do for you?
Hi, I'm interested in learning about my son's name.
Okay. And I like the fact that you gave that to me, and I'm not going to divulge that on air just because we like privacy, okay?
Okay.
Anyway, so I'm looking at your son's name and how Well, I was going to say, I have his birthday here, so I have to do the math. 12.
He's
an adult. I was going to say he's got 31, 32 this year. Okay. So when I'm looking at his name, first of all, you guys have the same communication skill package, okay? So you basically understand each other when you're talking, okay? You have a lot more humor in your name than he has in his, by the way, because you have a hard time doing work unless it's fun. If you can't make the work fun, you don't want to do it. And he would do it simply out of obligation, okay? So you're both very observant, both very practical. He's got a combination in his name, and I so appreciate having his whole name. His combination in his name says that he is really a gift to everybody around him. Now, sometimes people may not think that way because he can be very, what I want to say, very direct. Okay?
Yes.
But he's very honest. You know, so don't ask him a question you don't want to get the answer to. Because he's, you know... But he's a real gift. He's got the combination in his name that says he's part of the 2% of the population that's on mission for our Creator. Okay?
Yes.
And
he's
so,
also a reflection in human design. So that he's only 1%.
Oh, isn't that cool?
That is.
Okay. So he also has where he's a good manifester. He's got to keep learning about Source. That's part of what he came down to do, is constantly learning. He doesn't like to make the same mistake twice. Okay, he kind of gets upset with himself when he makes the same mistake twice. He's very practical, very observant. He doesn't miss much. You know, every once in a while, he gets to the place where he goes, I don't want to do that. I'm only going to do this to the minimum that I have to get it done, and then I want to leave. I don't want to do this work. You know?
No.
So it's not that he's lazy. He's just not interested. You know, work has to be interesting for him because he likes to learn and he likes to keep his mind going. Do you have a specific question that you would like to know about him?
Well, I just think I agree with everything that you've just said, but Sandra, is it Sandra?
I'm Sharon.
No.
That's okay, though.
Sharon, I apologize. I knew it was, I apologize, Sharon.
That's okay.
I was thinking Sharon, and okay.
Yeah, there's an accent on the O.
Yes, that was good. And I know I've listened to you, and you said you changed your mom, you named me wrong. I loved it. but that was great. So, you know, I realized he's really a very special young man. And he's slow on the learning about Source track.
Which is really cool. So he's more of a story person where he has to get involved in the complexities of the story to really learn something and grasp it. Okay.
Okay.
Even though he can read facts and he can grasp those too, he enjoys it more if there's a story behind it. So, and both of you guys are readers. Okay. Because how we learn is in our name, and you both have reading in your name, that you're visual learners. So I would give him books like The Celestine Prophecy. Okay, by James Redfield. I would give him the Initiate by Elizabeth Haish, Haich. I would give him, I'm thinking of any of the books by J.J. Dewey. His name's Joseph John Dewey, but he goes by J.J. Dewey. And his first book in his series of books, he's a very prolific writer, is absolutely free. And it's on the website freeread.com. Easy, because you get to read it for free. Okay?
Yeah.
Any of his books. And another one, a particular one that I think he'd absolutely adore reading, is Eugene Whitworth. And Eugene Whitworth wrote over 30 books, but five of them are fabulous. And so I would start with The Nine Faces of Christ. And I would read that one. And then I would go to... Genesis, the Children of Thoth. And then, you know, there's three others kind of in that same series that he would really, really enjoy.
And
okay.
Eugene, what's his last name?
Whitworth. 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 Okay. And I've gotten to study with Dr. Whitworth. I read his first book in 1985, Nine Faces of Christ. Absolutely. I was close to 300 books reading about Jesus Christ because I want to get a handle on this. And I would read part way on a book and go, that wasn't it. You know, yeah. So when I read Eugene Whitworth's book, everything in me resonated. I mean, I could just feel my cells waking up. And I know that sounds uh-huh. kind of strange, but it was like, this is it. And as I was reading yeah. his book, I remember what my head did. It literally would say, this is the part I forgot. Oh, yeah, that was it. That was it. That was it. Oh, yeah, that's the part I didn't remember.
Oh,
and
yes,
so
yes, yes.
I know that was speaking truth. Now, on Eugene Whitworth's books, just so that you know, because people find them hard to read, and they're not really. Once you know that the first chapter in each of his books is the background you need to understand certain things that will hit in the story when it hits later. And so the first chapter gives you your background. So it looks like a non sequitur between the first chapter and the second. But the second chapter starts the story. But that way, as you're reading, you've already got the background that you were given in the first chapter.
Right. Oh, sounds like a read I might like.
I think you would.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I say source, I mean, I know Jesus and the Divine Mother are my monad. But part of my monad. But I don't know how he feels so much about, I mean, he knows that Christ lived and believes in him as a historical figure. But I don't know. I'll certainly try.
Well, this book makes it real.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes it real. And yeah. I look at him in so many different ways because he was a Jewish man with the goal of getting the non-Jews, the Gentiles, to understand yeah. what the Jews understood. He was trying to share knowledge. And, yeah. I mean, he has some remarkable things. And one of the sentences that he has in the book, okay, I'll give you a sentence. I'm looking it up really fast. I love it because anytime I start to feel it all down, depressed, going, oh, my gosh, what am I doing here, all that stuff, I literally start saying this over and over again. And I'm looking up for the exact wording. But if I can't find it, I mean, I can give it to you in my own words because I say it so often. But it's literally saying that Jesus would say to himself, I am the resurrection and the life of my divine yeah. plan physically manifested here and now. So in other words, wow. he acknowledged we all have a contract, we all have a plan, and he is yes. manifesting that plan here and now.
Beautiful.
And I love that saying. And then I'll give you one from J.J. Dewey because I love his work too, and he's still alive. He gives a gathering once a year that you can go to. It'll be in September this year. But anyway, he says, let the angel of the presence be in my presence so that I feel the Spirit of God is the only presence. And I love that saying of his. He has so many good ones, though.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, anyway, I want to say thank you so much, Sharon. This is a lot of info that I can, you know, share at the right moment. It's not, you know, he's a serious kid. And yes, I just can't. I got to get him in the right mood, if you will.
Right. And those are all great books. And then if he finishes reading those, or you finish reading those and you want more, just write me an email at info@knowthename.com. Say, I've read these. What's next?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you for calling in, Laura. Okay,
oh,
Francis.
Sure. God,
yes.
Blessings.
Thank you. Okay, Francis, it's your turn from Montana. And I have a little note down here that you don't want to give your date of birth. And I just want to say to everybody, for nameology, all I need is the name. I don't need a date of birth. But I appreciate you giving me your full name, even though I'll only use your first name on air, because I can be more accurate that way. So welcome, Francis.
Yes. Hello.
Hi. What can Hello? I do for you?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I just got online and had an email. I said I'd call this number and listen to the show.
Oh, fabulous. Okay. So, Francis, what we can do when we're looking, just to give you an idea, when I look at a name, what I can see, like, you like to make the world a better place. You don't like to be told what to do. You like to be in charge of you. You don't want somebody else in charge of you. You can see things from other people's points of view, even when you disagree with them. You're a consumer learner. You can see things from other people's points of view, even when you don't agree with them. Okay? So in other words...
Yeah, I'm having a little hard time hearing you, I guess. Sorry.
Okay, you need to turn up the volume then on your end. Okay?
Yeah.
You can see things from other people's points of view. Even when you disagree with the other person, you can see where they're coming from or why they might think that way. And that's a real blessing. I think that's something that's desperately needed in our world today, is being able to see things from other people's points of view. But you're able to do that. Okay? And you've been taught to be fair.
But what's that? So okay, it's coming you in. Your voice is coming in. Your voice is coming in real muffled or blurry.
You need to fix it on your end.
Well, okay. No, I'm trying.
Okay. Okay. So you're very fair. You've been taught that it's important to be fair. Okay. So you want to be fair. You have your own organizational style. Not that somebody else can follow it, but you can always put your hands on what you need. Okay? Uh-huh. So all of that is good. Yeah. And I would suggest, if it's hard to hear us, that you come back and you go on knowthename.com and go on February 6th and listen to the replay. Okay? And then when you have it through your computer, it might be easier for you to understand it.
Right.
Okay? Did you have a question that you'd like answered?
No, how does the last name work with the first name?
The last name always indicates who's influencing you and what kind of people you are bringing to you.
Okay.
Okay? So who are you listening to?
So with my last name, what kind of people?
Well, you're bringing people who have a hard time standing up for themselves, but they want the world to be fair. That they are natural leaders, but they may be slow in taking the leadership position, that they're learning how to use their power of influence. They're basically very honest people that are coming to you. They have a balance between physicality and mental. You know, they like to do physical things, and at the same time, they like to think. Okay. So, but the greatest thing that you can give to them, or how you can help the people around you, is help them find their voice.
Anger issues?
It doesn't have to be. It can be. It could be they're upset because they're not being heard. It could be they're upset because they're not being understood. And see, that's different than not being heard. Okay? It's just that they want the world to be fair, and they can come with an injustice. They can come with a perceived injustice. And then you can show them what words they can use to express themselves, and then talk to, you know, go back and talk wherever the injustice occurred and stand up for themselves.
Okay, so I have another question. This is good.
Okay.
My nickname is spelled, you know, instead of Francis, is IE. Is there quite a difference between my given name and nickname?
Your given name is the name that gives me your contract for this lifetime. The name that you go by, doesn't matter how close it is to your given name or not, but the name that you go by says how you're presenting yourself and how you're going about the things that were in your birth name. Okay? So when you go by with the IE, okay, it simply means that you're having a lot more independence. Okay?
Oh.
Okay? And that you're expanding and you have a more generous heart.
I'm expanding and I'm having what?
A more generous heart. You have more generosity towards others.
With the IE.
Yep. Yep.
Uh-huh.
That you're more generous with others.
Oh, cool.
And so it's a positive. It's a positive.
Well,
I'd say use it, enjoy it. Okay?
Sure, did you say what, period?
I'd say use it and enjoy it. It's a good one. Okay, thanks.
All right. So when I use the name Francis, I used it for like my business name. Was that appropriate? Is that appropriate?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Okay. Are we good?
Okay. So I'll go where to what? Numenology.com?
Know the name.
Okay.
The website is knowthename.com and go on the schedule page. And then on the Thursday the 6th, it will say call in radio, and you just click on it, and it'll give you the link, but it usually comes out in about 2 days, okay, for their archives.
Okay.
So, thank you.
I lost that direction. It didn't come through.
Okay, good. Barbara, you are now on the line. Barbara, how can I help you?
Hi. Well, I would like you to evaluate my name for me, please.
Okay. Your name screams one huge issue. Okay. I mean, it just screams it. You want the world to be fair. You want justice done in the world. Now, your definition of justice may not match other people's, but you want the world fair according to you, and you want people treated right. And you're very practical, and you're a constant learner. Constantly learning, constantly observing what's going on, and constantly your self-talk is saying, how can I better myself? So you're constantly trying to improve, okay? And you compete with you. And you compete with you. You're constantly having to improve what you did last time, or okay? And so when I'm looking at your name, it's like, you just have to be careful when you get stubborn and you stop listening. That's your big challenge, is when you think you've read so much, you've done so much, you've figured it out, and then you think, okay, I got it already. And then you stop listening to how somebody else may have it differently. That's it. Other than that, it's how do you make this world a more fair place, and how do you stand up for you so that you're not taken advantage of? Okay, because you have it in your name where people can take from you what you don't want to give. Now, that can show up many different ways. It can show up physically, where they steal your belongings, or it's rape, or, you know, because they steal your part of your physical, or it could show up emotionally, where they steal your peace of mind and they make you uncomfortable, or it can show up mentally, where they take your ideas, claim them as their ideas, and then try to get credit for your ideas being theirs. Okay. It can show up spiritually with bad thoughts about you, because thoughts are things. Okay. And that affects our spiritual energy. So you have that in your name. It shows up more in the later years of your life than the earlier years of your life, because of where that theft is located in your name. So if you have that in your name, okay, and I have an equivalent of it in my name, so I know that one well, what you do is you just always got to think safety first. You got to make safety a prime concern.
Oh,
safety.
Okay.
Being safe. Okay. Like I had so many people in my house working recently because I had a pipe leak in the downstairs bathroom. Okay, so a lot of people came in, they had to take the shower out, they had to redo everything. And I had to have everybody double checked out, I had to approve all their names ahead of time and everything, because I didn't want strangers in my house. And I have a rule, because I have safety in my house, that I have to know somebody before they come to my house. Okay, because I had theft in my house from when I didn't know people, so I just changed the rule. I have to know you and know you pretty well, or I have to, you know, you have to give me your information so I can really look at your name and know whether I'm going to trust you in my house or not. Okay. So
would you trust me in your house?
Yes, I would, because you have fairness issues. And you would not take from somebody else because you don't think that's fair. Okay. I have fairness issues.
Can you answer?
Go ahead.
I do have a question. I have, and I don't know if my name shows this, but maybe you can help me with this. I have a hard time with procrastination, like getting started on something.
Okay, what's your middle name?
Ann.
That's where that is. Okay, because I was going to say, procrastination lies in the middle name, okay? And how it interacts with your first name. So That means intermediately you procrastinate. Now, do you want to know why you procrastinate?
Yes.
Okay. Because you get the best part of you, your thinking skills go up, you are more on game and on point when you're stressed. So you procrastinate and able to get stressed because that's when you do your best thinking. So, and able to get around that, give yourself a false deadline for what has to get done. Act as if it's real. Then you'll be stressed because you're not being able to make that deadline, and you'll get the sucker done.
Brilliant. And you're right. I have to have deadlines, and I work best under pressure.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah. It's in your name.
At 2 a.m. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You have so much in your name, Barbara, that I have in my name. I so get it. You know, I mean, I'm fortunate that I do readings for people overseas, and so I'm usually done at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But then I feel like, oh, I got to get this done. I got to get that done before this next reading, or I got to get that done. You know? But again, I have the same situation. So everybody that's listening, if you have Anne as a middle name, you have Lynn as a middle name, those are stress inducers. Those are procrastinators. Okay, most often. Okay, Lynn's and Ann's in the middle name. Why? Because Lynn and Ann are strong names, and they're often stronger than the first name. Not always, but often. And when the middle name is a stronger name than the first name, we become procrastinators, and we need the stress. And that's all that means. Now, if you have the middle name of Marie, oh my gosh, bless you people out there that have the middle name of Marie, and it's one, because that means I get to self-sacrifice and I never get my turn. And so because it's in the middle name, it means intermittently, it's all about what can you give to everybody else and everybody's ignoring you. You don't get your turn. So anyway, middle names are interesting. So Barbara, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Sharon, and God bless you.
Oh, you too. You too. Okay, Shelley, thank you for your patience. Shelley, what can I do for you today?
Can you hear me?
I certainly can. And I love how you spell your name, Shelley, with the E-Y.
You know, I was going to ask you because so many people drop the E, and I'm just wondering what makes the difference between the E and without the E.
With the E, you are more empathic. You are more sensitive to other people's needs. You are kinder.
Okay.
So see, that's why I said I love the E there.
Okay. And actually, that is my middle name because it's a surname. It was my great-grandmother's surname. So I use it as I've always used it as my major name and not my first name.
Okay. So when that's done, like if I was going to give you a big name reading because you called in for an appointment, okay? I would take your birth name that's on your birth certificate and we would see what 7 goals you gave yourself. And then we'd use the name that you're going by and we'd say, how are you going about solving or learning or satisfying those 7 goals you gave yourself? It changes how you go about learning those goals or taking care of them. It doesn't change the goals.
Okay.
Did that make sense?
That does make sense. Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome.
Do you have
go ahead.
Do you have my last name there?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
So how do people influence me?
Okay. So they're bringing physicality to your world.
Okay.
So you get sex from others. Okay. You wouldn't have had it on your own. All right. Or you wouldn't maybe have explored in that department without first falling in love with somebody. Okay. You need somebody else to get you excited. Okay. Now I know that's going TMI. Okay. But that's what you're bringing to you. You're bringing artistic people. You're bringing creative people. You need a lot of freedom and they're giving you different ideas on how to be free or how to use that freedom.
So true. So true.
Okay. And they are, the other thing is you come from the heart more, and even though you're smart, because you're smart in your name, okay? But you come from the heart. You let the heart lead. So the people you're bringing to you are more rational and they come from the mind more. So they help you balance.
Okay.
So like if your heart gets out of whack and you stop thinking, they're there going, remember this piece. And did you think about that?
Okay. I think that's very true, Sharon. That's very true.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Shelley, I joke, but I literally say that once you know the system, there are no secrets in a name. You know everything from the bedroom to the boardroom, what somebody likes.
And this is pretty much covered in your book?
Totally covered in my book.
Totally covered. Great.
Totally covered. And in fact, all my board of advisors told me that the first book should have been two books. And I said, I want, because it's all on the personality, know the name, know the person. And I said, no, I want it all in one thing. Somebody buys one book and they have it. But I also would suggest, if you're thinking about getting it and learning it, is that you skip the middle school years because nobody has a good time during those years anyway. And those are all the double letters, the chapters 6, 7, and 8, middle school years. Skip those. You'll get bogged down in them. Read the rest in order because it's a building block, just like math is a building block, but there's no math involved. Okay. Go up through chapter 5 and then start again in chapter 9. And then use those three middle years as research research chapters. If you're really delving into a name, go look up stuff.
Got it.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You get bogged down. Yep. You're welcome, Shelley. You have a great evening.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you. Susan, it is your turn. Thank you for your patience. And guys, everybody who's currently online, we're going to have time to get to you, so just have patience. Susan, welcome. How can I be of assistance for you?
I was wondering about what my name says in regards to like intuition, empathy, empath, that kind of stuff.
It does not say that you have empathy, nowhere in your name, but it does say that you're incredibly spiritual, very psychic, and very intuitive. So that's what you may consider empathic, but it doesn't read that way. It reads intuitive and psychic. Is that good?
I guess so. It doesn't seem to work very often.
Well, you got to learn to trust it. Okay, you question everything, and then you sometimes let your head get in the way. Okay, so imagine for a minute that spirit comes and starts talking to you. And then you start analyzing what they're saying as they're saying it. Well, then it stops their flow, and then you don't get the whole picture and you don't get all of it. And so the trick for you looking at your name, bless your heart because you're so smart and analytical at the same time that you're intuitive, is to learn how to let spirit finish giving you an idea and have you write it down before you start tearing it apart and analyzing it. Because not all of what spirit says makes sense. So, how can you tell if it's spirit talking to you and not you talking to you? Okay? One of the ways that spirit will talk to you, because I'm looking at your name, okay, is, and guys, if this happens to you, anybody who's listening, this is how you know it's spirit. We never interrupt ourselves. We don't do it. So when you are thinking something, you do not interrupt your own thoughts. They just keep flowing. However, spirit will always jump in the middle and interrupt a sentence, and they will start talking to you. So if you find that you're flowing along and all of a sudden there's an interruption in your thoughts and it goes in a different direction, that's spirit talking to you. And that's
It's
time to listen. And that's when it's time to listen. And Susan, your name says you're going to be really good at this once you get good at it, once you trust it. It's just learning how to trust it, okay, and working with it. But you've got everything in there to be really good at it, okay?
Okay. What does the MCK combination do?
I have no idea what an MCK is. I do know what an MC is, and I do know what a K is. Okay?
Okay, how about the MC then?
Okay, an MC and an MAC reads the same, because there's always more than one way to get something. And it means that you belong to the family or the family clan, or you are expected to behave according to the rules of the family. Now, if that's a birth name, It means that your parents dominated and family came first, and you had to just fall in line and accept whatever family rules there were. If it is a married last name, it means you've married into a family, and now your mother-in-law and father-in-law and that family expects you to follow their rules, even if they're not your rules, and that they're going to have some possession or ownership or feel like they have rights to tell you what to do. Okay?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you watch how that one plays out. And the K is always leadership. But you have a KA, so it means the people you are bringing to you are learning how to be leaders. Okay, because it always matters what's next to the letters. So a K is leadership, but a KA says they're learning to lead. Okay?
Okay.
I wish you the best. You got a wonderful memory, Susan, and you want to make the world a better place. You're a nice person. You've got kindness in your name. You know, I always look for that anymore. I think that's so important in our world. But you're highly intuitive. I would suggest meditating. Okay? A good way for you to meditate would be learn the Monroe techniques from Robert Monroe. I give classes in it because I'm full disclosure here, I'm a certified Monroe trainer. But whether you get it from me, you get it from them, you get it from somebody else, you get it from reading the books. Bruce Moen, M-O-E-N. Bruce Moen wrote the best books on how to do it without the tapes. Or then you could get the tapes, but you'd have all the vocabulary and the methodology if you wanted to read about it first. But anyway, that would be a technique that would open up for you your own intuition and cause you to be able to hear a lot more clearly in a very short period of time if you learn their technique. Okay?
I appreciate the suggestion. Thanks.
You're welcome, Susan. You have a great evening. Raymond, bless your heart. You are on air. How can I help you, Raymond?
Hi, thanks, Shalom. Oh, I'm good. I appreciate it. I don't hear enough men on the radio show, but here I am.
Yay!
So I got one book, but I need it spoken to me, who I am, in my whole name. And if you take a question, I can give how do I relate to my brothers and how I can better communicate with them and respect boundaries for them and myself as well. Okay, my older brother's Norman. My younger brother's name is Herman, and I'm Raymond.
Got it. Okay. So, Raymond, you have a logical, deductive mind, okay? And at the same time, your name says that you can do anything you just stay focused on. You know, if you're not being successful, it's just because you lost your focus. That's it. You have such capabilities in your name that you can do anything you just keep your focus on. And if you keep your focus there long enough, you'll be successful. Okay, so your whole challenge is don't lose focus. Okay, when you're relating to Norman, he needs to be the boss. He needs to be able to tell you what to do. But you're looking at him and going, but I'm smarter. So I don't want to be told what to do by you. Okay, do you see where the conflict is?
This is true.
Okay, so
he's my big brother. I can't listen to my big brother.
Okay. It wouldn't matter what order you guys were in. He'd want to be the boss. He's got boss in his name. He wants to tell other people what to do. You've got in your name that you don't have to be the boss, but whoever the boss is had better be competent. And because you have this piece that you can do anything and you've got logical, deductive reasoning behind it and capability, you don't want to be told what to do by somebody that you don't think is smarter than you. And just because he wants to tell you what to do doesn't mean you want to listen. So if you want to get along better with him, and he's got a fabulous mind. He never forgets anything you say. He can hold it against you forever. Okay? So if you want to get along with him, he's not a bad person. Okay? So I want to clarify that. So what you would do is you would ask him for ideas and suggestions on things that do not matter to you one way or another. Okay? So like if you have a chore to do and you don't care how it gets done, it just needs to get done, then you go to him and you say, hey, Norman, how would you do this chore? And then you can decide, I'm going to follow it, I'm not going to follow it. But you're asking his advice. He gets to tell you what to do. It's on something that you don't care about anyway, so fine, do it his way. And he'll love you for it. And then he'll listen better to you when you decide to talk because you let him boss you. Okay, does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I'll look for more opportunities like that.
I know, it's crazy. But well, it's easy to get along with people who can see it. Go ahead. I'm ready to do Herman unless you have a question on Norman.
It's just background information. It doesn't really matter. It's just for the last 3 years, we just engaged in a relationship again. Just living situation and passing for our parents. That's why. So we're kind of, by necessity, coming together with all my siblings. So we've just been just living apart, right? So
yeah, well, you just let Norman lead. On anything that's not crucial, just let him lead. He needs to lead to feel good about himself. And what you will find is when you let him lead, he will take care of you and he'll be good to you because that's his reward back out when people let him lead. Okay? Because he really does want to take care of the people around him that he cares about. Okay? So just let him lead on anything that's not so important that you think, oh my gosh, he's just going to go mess this up. Okay? Okay.
All
now.
Right.
Now, with Herman, it's a different thing. Okay. Now, Norman and Herman.
Norman's out of out of town, comes to visit, but I live in the same household with Herman. We live together.
Okay. Well, Herman and Norman have so much compatibility in their names. Okay. You're the odd one out. I just thought I'd let you know in this grouping.
Yeah, totally.
So with Herman. Herman comes from feelings. He's emotional. You're not emotional. You're objective. Okay? So an objective person is having to deal with an emotional person. And an objective person looks at the emotional person and goes, get your act together. You know, what's the problem here? Because can't you see through this? And the emotional person will go, it doesn't feel right. Okay? I mean, it really hits them in a different way. So how you start really communicating well with Herman is you take time to give him attention and you say, how are you feeling today? Not thinking, not what do you think about this, but how do you feel about this? How are you feeling? How's your day gone? And you get him to talk about himself. And the trick is every time you see him, get him to talk about himself for 10 minutes before you engage in what you really want to talk about. And that means if he goes off to the grocery store and comes back, you've got another 10 minutes. Now you're seeing him for the first time again that he needs to talk about himself and his trip to the grocery store and what happened. He needs to get that across first, always because he's coming from an emotional place, and then he can engage in what chores or what other things that you need to have done or what topics you want to discuss. Okay? So you're always going to start with, how are you feeling? You know? Are you okay? You know, all of that first. And it's literally every time you see him, because you guys have been separated for a half an hour or more, you start again. Well, how you feeling? How you doing? Okay? Just making that difference, you'll see there's a real difference in the relationship. Okay? Because you want to get your work done and then connect. Your brother wants to connect and then get the work done. Can you see where you guys are opposed to each other?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, it's not in his name that he can adjust to you. You're going to have to adjust to him. The names always tell us whose responsibility it is to adjust to the other one. So once you adjust to him, always start talking to him first about how he's feeling, how he's doing. Then you can get him over to your side, and now we got to get this done. And it's a 10-minute. I used to just watch my clock when I was teaching myself how to do this. Okay, it's 10 minutes. They need 10 minutes. A good focus on them, 10 minutes. It used to bother me when I would go into work and people were standing around the water cooler or they were standing there with their cups of coffee and I'd be thinking, get to work. My gosh, we are so far behind. And they'd all be chit-chatting. And what I realized was if I went up and chit-chat with them for 10 minutes, then everybody could get to work and everybody was fine for the day. But if I didn't chit-chat with them for 10 minutes first, half of them didn't work during the day. It was like they were bothered all day long. How come I didn't chit-chat with them? Don't I care anymore? And I'd be going, are you kidding me? Okay? And it's just some people need that. Some people just need that. And your brother's one of them. Okay. And so it's retraining us on what to do so that they know that we care. And that's the big issue, because when we don't do that, they don't think we care. And that's not true, but that's what they think. And perception seems to be real. And so that's what you do to get along better with them. Okay?
Thank you for that. Will you take one more question?
Yeah, really quickly.
Regarding a potential. Okay. I just have two names. They're potential renters. We done the renovation. We want to get a renter. Okay. Their names are, the couple is Brandon and Samantha. How may they fit well with us?
They'll fit great with you. You know, unless their last name's something that's going to screw it up. Their first names will fit great with you. Okay, not so great with Herman. But they'll fit great with you. Especially Brandon. You guys have a lot in common. And they're workaholics. And just don't cross Samantha, and you'll be fine. Okay? Samantha's going to hold her grudges. Okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You have a great evening. Natalie, I appreciate your patience. Natalie, what can I do?
Oh, no problem.
What can I do? What would you like to know?
Calling about my name. I've listened to your show a bunch, but I've never heard a Natalie get reviewed.
Well, and every Natalie's not the same, right?
Okay, right, right.
It depends on the last name, so I'm glad you gave me your last name. Okay, so...
Oh, it's, yeah, Ruiz, right. And my middle name is Faye.
Faye, F-A-Y?
F-A-Y-E.
E. I was going to say, or does it have an E on the end? Okay, so you have got an incredibly generous heart, and you will get the work done, and you will self-sacrifice to make sure everything's done on time and everybody looks good, and you will work your little heart out to make sure that everything's running smoothly, okay? So in your name, it literally says you got to learn how to share the workload. You're really good at doing it all yourself, but not so good at delegating it, because somebody else may not do it as well as you're going to do it. Okay?
Yeah. And so, this sounds like me at work, sure.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to do their job.
Team.
Exactly. So you're going to do your job and their job. Okay?
I can, yes.
I was just going to say, it's too bad you don't live in Colorado. I'm working with a hiring person there that's hiring in Colorado, and I'm looking at your name going, oh, you'd be a perfect candidate for that job that they've got open. Anyway, but you're in the wrong state.
Oh.
So for them.
Yeah.
So anyway, mm-hmm. you've got to stay athletic to stay healthy. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can get lazy sometimes. You don't want to exercise. Mm-hmm. And you'd rather get in the car than on a bike or walk or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Just know that that's to your detriment. If you want to stay healthy, your whole name says you've got to stay active. You've got to walk more. You've got to focus on mm-hmm. exercise at least 3 times a week.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you don't have to.
Right.
Yeah. And it says if you're only going to do it 3 times a week, you really need to do it at 45 minutes at least.
Okay.
Okay. If not, you can do 20 to 25 minutes a day. But you've got to do something.
Okay.
You know, so looking at your name, I'm going to suggest getting on a trampoline.
Okay.
Okay. And a good 10 minutes of your exercise thing is going to be on a trampoline. And other than that, I'd be walking or swimming.
Okay.
Okay. But those sports will serve you better because you have in your name that you've got to watch so that you don't break something when you're exercising. Mm-hmm. And that's why I suggest mm-hmm. swimming, because it's really hard to break a bone or to hurt yourself when you're swimming.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. And I don't want you scared that, oh my God, I can hurt myself now. No, it's only if you're doing excessive exercise, because whatever you like, and you would learn to like it, whatever you like, you tend to like a whole lot and do excessively. Okay.
Yeah.
So I would get on a trampoline, like one of those rebounders. Mm-hmm. And because you don't like to waste time and just bouncing on that trampoline would be boring to you, I'm going to suggest that every time somebody calls you and it's a girlfriend and you're just going to chit-chat, you go bounce while mm-hmm. you're chit-chatting on the phone so you're not wasting time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay? Because if mm-hmm. you were just jumping, you'd be saying, I need to get all this other stuff done. But if you're already not going to be getting stuff done because you're chit-chatting with your girlfriend, go jump on the trampoline or the rebound.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I like that. So I play some music. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You've got to mm-hmm. be doing something else at the same time, or else you will. And Yep. When you're jumping on a trampoline or a rebounder, your goal is 10 consecutive minutes. But when you're starting, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
You could do 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, whatever. It doesn't matter as long as it adds up to 10. And then you build up to 10 because you've got a challenge in your name that you don't breathe as deeply as some other people. I don't know if that's hit you yet or not. But yeah, I know what I'm talking about?
No.
You don't take as deep a breath as some people?
I don't take as deep of a breath. Okay.
You might breathe more shallowly. Okay?
Okay.
It's still that you're breathing, but it may be more shallow than what other people breathe. And like I said, I don't know your age, and I haven't done the whole workout to know exactly what age that hits you at. Okay?
Okay.
However, jumping on that trampoline, if you cannot initially go 10 minutes, you know you're breathing shallowly.
Okay.
You know that's already hit you. And if you can, once you can go an entire 10 minutes, you know that that problem's solved.
Okay, so that's a goal.
That's a goal. And that's why I want you to go 10 minutes, because that'll force you to breathe deeper than what your name tells me you're going to be breathing.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I've got a Pilates machine. It's got an attachment for jumping.
Good.
so I can switch it out. Yeah. That's great advice.
You know, I don't give advice. I just make suggestions. Because the word advice means I'm adding vice to your life. I don't do that.
Okay. No, this is a terrific suggestion.
Okay. Yeah, I'm playing with you on advice. I just like to have fun with words. Anyway.
I see.
So.
Yes. Give me more vices. Thank you.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to add vice to you. We can come up with enough on our own. You don't need somebody to add some. Okay. So the other thing is, Natalie, you're really, really independent. Okay. And so think about.
No, I'm more dependent, I feel. But I am, very solitaire. Like, I do live alone and, my dog and me. Yes.
And that's independence. Okay. Now, I wouldn't call it dependent. You don't need to be the leader. That's not a dependence. That's an interdependence you would have.
Oh, okay. Well, I just feel very dependent on my job and things like that. Like, I need these things. So I feel kind of a dependent, but.
Okay. So let's look at it being interdependent.
Okay.
Your job needs you just like you need your job, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're interdependent.
That's true. Okay. I see. Okay. That's kind of magical. Yeah.
I don't see dependence in your name. I see interdependence. Like, if you are in a relationship, you want to make the other person happy, but they also want to make you happy. It's interdependent.
Yes. Yes. And I do have someone in my life. And yes. Yeah. I see it. We're both dependent on each other, but I can see it being relabeled in a more positive light.
It's interdependent.
Okay.
There is a fabulous book for anybody that's listening that feels like they could be dependent or true dependents. It's called Codependence No More. And it's by Melody. I don't remember her last name. Anyway, it's by a Melody somebody.
I've come across this book before.
Yeah, it's Codependence No More. It is a fabulous book. And I want to say, in my skinny book that teaches how to communicate with others so that you can talk to anybody, it's Know the Name, Know How to Connect. In every chapter, I give you a book that, if you want further information on how that person relates, that you can read. And I'm thinking that because every letter has a different way that they communicate, the first vowels. These are all just first vowels. And for the truly dependent ones, I think I put down Melody's book of Codependence No More. I think it's one of the best books out there on how to not be dependent, but how to change it into dependence. Okay?
Yeah, I know I've come across it because I was thinking very hardly that I was thinking so hard on it that I'm so dependent. And I've come across that book just to get myself out of feeling so dependent because, it sounds like a good step-by-step.
It is. It's a fabulous book, Natalie, but I really want to say you're more independent. But thank you for calling.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you for the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Okay, guys, next week, You know that I always try to bring you the very, very best. And I have Vincent Gemma coming on next week. Vincent is incredible. He is literally called the triple psychic because of how talented he is. He's in demand everywhere. I have waited a long time to get him on the air for you because just to make a Thursday that was available for him in his busy schedule, this is an incredible person. He's grabbed up by Coast to Coast in really big shows all the time. He's incredibly well known around the world. And so we have a triple psychic coming for you next week. So again, this is Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and it is Know the Name, Know the Answers. And I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. And this is Sharon signing off.